Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey, North Point, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, these last few weeks, we have been in a series entitled Simple Prayers. And today, you're kind of getting Simple Prayers, the bonus edition. It was supposed to end last week, but we're just carrying it over one more week. And during this time, what we're looking at is we're actually looking at the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer comes out of this moment when the disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, the disciples were Jewish men who had grown up learning and reciting prayers. These are people, they knew the traditional prayers of the Jewish faith, and yet they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So what were they really asking Jesus? They weren't really saying, teach us to pray. They knew how to pray. What they were asking was simply this, teach us to pray like you pray, because you don't pray like we pray. And you get results that we don't get. And then Jesus tells them, he begins to teach them how to pray. But here was the awesome thing about Jesus is that Jesus doesn't just lay out a pattern for his disciples, a pattern of how to pray, but Jesus actually lived out a model of a lifestyle of prayer. And we see that in the scriptures in Luke chapter 5, verse 14. Scripture says, but Jesus often went away to be by himself and pray. But Jesus often, so the disciples are making this connection that Jesus goes away, he talks to the Father, and then miracles happen. They're making these connections. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, in the morning, long before sunrise, Jesus went to a place where he could be alone to pray. In the morning, early in the morning, Jesus gets up. He leaves the place that they were staying so that he could be alone and have this time of prayer. And so whenever Jesus begins to teach his disciples, is this then is how you should pray? It's almost as if he's saying, this is how I've been praying. So you want to know how I pray, and you've heard me pray sometimes, and you've seen the results of my prayers. This is how I should pray, and this is how I want you to pray. Now, let's keep in mind that we do not mindlessly recite these words that Jesus says here and expect that they are going to give us some amazing results. It's not like with these words, we're rubbing the genie in the bottle or we're sprinkling some pixie dust on our lives. No, that's not it. What Jesus gave us is a pattern. He gave us a model. He gave us a pathway to prayer that is going to take us to the place and take us on this journey that he really wants us to go on. And we broke down over these last few weeks and we said, this is what the Lord's Prayer breaks down to. It breaks down to my posture, my priority, and my petition. My posture, it starts with where Jesus says, this then how you should pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see, this is the posture that we get in, that God is an intimate Father, but he is also an infinite creator. He is the God of unconditional love, and he is also the God of unlimited power. You are a Father, but your name is holy. Your name is worthy. Your name is great and mighty and awesome. And then we see my priority. My priority is when Jesus continues on in the prayer, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That this is our priority, that we should choose to seek after his kingdom above all else, that we should choose his way over our way. And by choosing his way over our way, we're able to bring heaven to earth. And then finally, after Jesus gets into the posture and the priority, then he gets into the petition. He gets into the asking God, asking the Father. And this is what he says in his petition. He says, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. See, here's what we know. Whenever our posture and our priorities change, so does what we ask for. When we get in the posture of surrender and we begin to live with the priority of the kingdom and his will and his way, it will always change whatever it is that we ask for. And so today, what I want to do is I don't want to just break down this prayer and give you some theological concepts around prayer and help you to pray this way. This is what I want you to see today. I want you to see how powerfully this prayer translates into your everyday life. How these are not just words that we say in the morning, but how this impacts the way that we live every single day. And so we're going to start with this concept, and that is that my posture sets my perspective. My posture, remember that is the part of the prayer when he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," or "holy is your name," or "worthy is your name." My posture sets my perspective. Now, what is perspective? Perspective is defined as this: a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. A point of view. Your perspective is the place of which you see things. It's your point of view. It's your vantage point. Now, as we look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, this is just the next chapter after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. He's still teaching here the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him?" Now, Jesus says, now, wait a minute, you being human, you being flawed, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your perfect, awesome, great, heavenly Father know how to give you good and wonderful gifts as well? James, the brother of Jesus, says it this way in James chapter 1, verse 17. He says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father." He says, if it's good, if it's perfect, if it's blessing, if it's favor, it is coming down from God our Father. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real, and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him." So he says that you have to believe here that God exists, but not just that God exists, not just that God is real, but that God is also a rewarder of those who are seeking after him. Now, I really want you to see how practical this is. This is so incredibly practical, because if I don't pause and posture my mind and heart under his love and grace, if I don't pause and posture my heart under his unlimited power, then my perspective, the way that I see things, is going to be off. And my point of view, the place that I'm seeing things, that is really all about my identity. It's my position. It's the place that I'm seeing from. So how I see myself is going to depend upon how I see God. And who I am depends upon who I believe that God really is. You see, it is my posture that's giving me the perspective that I'm going to see my life, my day, my family, my purpose. Everything in my life is going to come from this perspective that I have to posture myself in the presence of God. Now, if I'm not certain of who God really is, if I'm not certain that he really is a perfect, loving father, if I'm stuck thinking that he's like my father, that he's not as perfect. Now, listen, it doesn't matter if you didn't have a dad or if you had a great dad. If you didn't have a dad, if it was a bad experience, or if you had a dad, let me tell you what, no matter how good your dad was, it was like your dad would be, the very best dad would be like this high off of the table. But God, God's like going all the way to the moon. God's not a good father. He's a perfect father. And so we have to understand that God is this perfect, loving father. What if I get stuck struggling to believe that he really care about me? Does he really care about my emotions? Does he really care about what I'm going through, my struggles? Or if I'm having a hard time believing that his love is unconditional, that there is no condition to God's love. We live in a very conditional world. We have conditions around everything, but God is unconditional as love. Maybe I'm having a hard time understanding that. Or maybe I'm not certain that God can or will do good things for me. And I'm not sure that he would use his power and his ability to reward somebody like me. So if I'm not sure of those things, if I'm not certain of those things, then how I speak to him and how I live my life before him is going to be off. Why? Because my perspective of who he is and my perspective about life and my identity is going to be incorrect. And I cannot live a life before me if I don't have a clear picture of who God is and the life that he has really called me to live and the relationship that he's really called me to live in. Now, listen, when we get into this prayer, this is not some little cute prayer technique that I'm trying to give you. No. If you begin to pray this way, it is going to change each day of your life. And it will allow you to live the abundant life that Jesus offers you. Why? Because how I see God, how I see myself, how I see others, how I see my future and my current situation will determine how I behave towards God, myself, others, my future, and my current situation. My action is always going to follow my vision. So we can see the dilemma right now very clearly. I don't start my day seeing clearly, and then I act accordingly. I don't start my day postured and surrendered to who he is, so therefore, I don't start my day understanding who I am, and then I just live my day accordingly because I didn't start with a clear picture of who he is, who I am, my role in other people's lives, my present, my future. I didn't start with a clear vision and a clear picture of that. And then I just began to live out my life. And so listen, if it's blurry in my vision, it's going to be messy in my life. If I don't see it clearly, it's going to be messy. And if I don't posture myself to get the perspective, the point of view that I need, then I'm not going to live the life that I desire. It's my posture. It's me taking this pause. It's the posture that really sets my perspective. Now, here's the second thing that I would say that would bring this into the practicality of your day, and that is that my priority steers my process. My priority steers my process. Jesus continued on in the Lord's Prayer, and he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, Jesus was very clear here about us being intentional of praying our priority, his kingdom, his will, and bringing heaven to earth. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, and he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, remember, this verse is just a few verses after the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus is bringing our attention back to seek first his kingdom, that his kingdom should be our number one priority, and not just his kingdom, but his righteousness, his way of living life. These things ought to be at the very forefront of everything that we are doing. Now, here's why Jesus instructs us to pray our priority, because praying our priority keeps our mind on the most important things, not just the most urgent things. Praying our priority keeps our minds on the most important things, not just the most urgent things. How many of you have had important things that haven't happened in your life because the urgent thing just popped up? I mean, you had the best intentions. I mean, you might even had a plan and then just boom, the urgent thing popped in your face. And when the urgent thing pops in your face, it takes your eyes off of the important thing. Now, here's what I'll tell you about prayer. Prayer can be no different. We sacrifice praying our priorities because we have so many urgent problems. And then in our prayers, we can get so self-centered because these urgent problems typically revolve around us. They revolve around our happiness, our pleasure, our peace, what we want. We've got these urgent problems. And so what we are doing is in our prayer is we are bringing to God all of our urgent, mostly self-centered problems to God. And it takes our attention off of the most important thing. It takes our attention off praying our priorities. And we get consumed. We get consumed with the urgent needs and wants, and we forget the big picture priorities that we said were the most important thing to us at one time. Here's what I could ask every one of you right now. How many of you know that His kingdom is the most important thing? Everybody say, yeah, okay, I know that, I know that. But how quickly our prayers don't reflect that. So we begin to pray the urgent things instead of praying the important things. And if our minds are not fixed on His kingdom, watch what happens. If our minds, if we're not praying and fixing our minds on His kingdom, then our will inevitably take the place of His will in our lives. If we're not focused on His kingdom, then our will is going to eventually outweigh and overrule His will in our lives. So by praying our priority each day, what I'm attempting to do is I am attempting to create a process of decision-making in my life that puts His kingdom and His will at the forefront. You see, if I don't create and maintain that process, then I will naturally go back to making decisions based upon what I want. Now, you may not even know this, but we all have a process of decision-making. It might be unknown to you, but you certainly have one. There is a process or a metric that you use as you make decisions day by day, week by week, and year by year. And if there is any area in your life that isn't giving you the results that you want, hear me clearly. Now, just think about that for a moment. Is there any area in your life right now that's not giving you the results that you want? If there is an area, listen, you have a decision-making process problem. You have a decision-making process problem because most of the time, when we have an area of our life that's not meeting the standard that we want it to meet, it's not performing the way that we want it to perform, it's typically because we're not doing something that we know we should be doing. Every now and then it's because we don't have the right information. Every now and then it's because we don't have the right tools. Every now and then, but so many times it's because we're not doing what we know we need to be doing. And what happens in these situations is that most of the time what we do is we choose the urgent over the important. We just choose the urgent over the important because we say things like this: my health is very important to me. Okay, what does that look like to you? Well, that looks like eating healthy. Okay, well, then I'm hungry and there's a donut. I have a problem. I choose the urgent over the important. I say my marriage is important. And what does that look like? It looks like having good communication. But then I get mad. I get upset. I get offended. And now I am either yelling or I'm shutting down and recluse and in my shell, whichever is your preferred method of you getting upset. But I said that it was important. What happened is I'm choosing the urgent. I'm choosing the emotion. I'm choosing the urgent thing right there instead of the most important thing. What about business? Say, well, I want a strong business. I want to grow my business. I want to build a strong culture in my business. Then you start the process and it's taking longer than you thought it would take. And it's harder than you thought it was going to be. And so you start taking shortcuts. Why do you take shortcuts? Because the urgent takes priority over the important. How about your spiritual life? Your spiritual life, you say, I want to live kingdom first. I want to live kingdom first. But then that person doesn't agree with you. And then you find yourself name calling them an idiot, a moron. You find yourself calling them all kinds of names, the same people that we are supposed to love, the same thing, the same people that we are supposed to show mercy to in this kingdom first mentality. What happens? We choose the urgent. We choose the urgent. So what do we have a problem? Our problem is in our decision-making process. This is why every day we need to pray this pattern of prayer. Every day we need to position ourselves in the Lord's Prayer. Because when I am reminded of my priority as a Christ follower, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let heaven come to earth today through me, then I am prompted to live out a decision-making process that isn't based on the urgent of what I feel, but it's based upon the important of what I truly desire. It's me choosing the important over the urgent. And whenever we find ourselves in trouble, most of the time we're choosing the urgent over the important. And in our prayers, we get in trouble. Why? Because we're praying for the urgent and we're not praying for the important. And so then we don't see what we need to see in our lives because our prayer is about the urgent and not the important. And so therefore our lives become about the urgent instead of the important. And then we get to a place and we don't even want to be there. We're like, how did we get here? It's because our prayers and our life were all based upon the urgent. And we forgot the important thing of His kingdom and His will. And our responsibility to bring heaven to earth. My priority is what steers my process, my decision-making process. And then it takes us to the last one today. And that is that my petition stirs my possibilities. My petition stirs my possibilities. Once again, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, verse 11 in Matthew 6, he says, "Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, we talked a couple weeks ago about this daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And surely Jesus was talking about nourishment for the stomach. But I believe he was talking about even more than that. Not just nourishment for the stomach, but also nourishment for the soul. And we talked about the example that Jesus gave when he told his disciples, "I have food that you don't know anything about. I get nourished by doing the will of the one who sent me. I do the will of the Father and I am nourished." And so we said, maybe in this prayer, we could say, not just give us today our daily bread, but give us today our daily opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. Give us an opportunity to love and to serve. Give us an opportunity to show up and care. Give us an opportunity today to be radically generous with somebody today. God, give us today our daily bread. That's our petition. And then it didn't stop there. He says, then forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Now, this is awesome. I get to live with a clean slate. I get to live with a clean conscience and a clean heart because God forgives my sins. But not just that, I get to live my life without the extra baggage. The clean slate is all about me not having any shame, not having any guilt. There's no condemnation. But when it comes to me forgiving others, man, that means I get to throw off the baggage. I'm not carrying any offense, any bitterness, any resentment. I have thrown off all of the baggage. I'm not carrying any of those extra weights in my life. That is my petition to the Lord. And then he doesn't stop there. He says in him, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one." See, don't is leading us away from the temptation and the traps that we can so easily fall into. Don't lead us into that temptation, but instead, God, lead us away from that temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the lies that we have believed. Deliver us from the limitations that we have lived under. God, please deliver us from the oppression. Deliver us from the depression. Deliver us from the evil one. And so we see that we are being set free. We are walking out of that prison. We are walking out of the grasp of the enemy, and we are walking away from the traps and the temptations that have held us back and held us bound for so long. Now I want you to see this. If I am praying for opportunities to bless others by loving them and serving them so well, and if I don't have to carry around any extra baggage or weight from my sins or from what other people have done to me, and if I'm staying away from the things that have held me back for so long, then come on, miracles are possible. This is heaven coming to earth. This is not just in the words of my prayer, but this is in the reality of my life, because all of a sudden, I'm not carrying what I have always carried. I'm not stepping in the same traps that I've always stepped in. And I am looking for the opportunity and expecting the opportunity to be a supernatural blessing and encouragement in somebody's life. And now listen to this. This is where the petitions start. This is not where they end. This is just the beginning. This is just how Jesus wraps up his prayer. This is where our prayer and our petition, this is where it starts, but this is not where it stops, because as we continue on, and listen, we're going to get into it next week. We're going to be talking in a new series about heaven revealed. How do we bring heaven to earth? It's going to kind of piggyback right off of the Lord's Prayer. And I hope you come along for that journey, because here's what Jesus throughout the Gospels. This wasn't the only prayer that Jesus prayed. This is not like every time Jesus stops to pray, we see him praying the Lord's Prayer. No, Jesus asked for miracles. He asked for the blind to see. He declared that the deaf would hear. He spoke to the dead and caused them to be raised up. I mean, we see Jesus doing so many miracles in the scriptures. We see Jesus petitioning the Father to move and to do these supernatural miracles. So whenever we get to this end of the Lord's Prayer, we see these very specific petitions. We don't stop there. That's the beginning place. That's where we start. And I think we can see this in what David wrote in Psalm 37 as we get ready to wrap up today. Psalm 37, verse 4, David says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he will do it." Now, I want you to see the similarities of what David is saying and the things that we've been talking about in the Lord's Prayer. David starts with this, and he says, delight yourself in the Lord. He's saying, hey, you got to take your posture. You got to take your posture in the Lord. And out of delighting yourself in God, of delighting yourself in relationship, of delighting yourself in who he is and taking on the identity that he has for you, as you delight yourself in what he has for you now and in what he has for you in your future, as you delight yourself in the Lord, as you get your posture right, you're going to have the right perspective. And out of that perspective, he's going to give you what you desire, and he's going to give you what you ask for. But he doesn't stop there. He moves on into the next verse, and he says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Commit your way. Commit your priority to the ways of the Lord. Commit your process. Your process of decision-making should be his will and his kingdom first. And then David says, if you trust in him, he will do it. He will do it. He will move on your behalf. David, just like Jesus, is letting us know that there is a posture and there is a priority that must be present in order to unlock the power of possibilities in your life. There is a posture and there is a priority that must be present in order to unlock the power of possibilities. You see, whenever our posture is submitted and surrendered to him. Whenever our priorities are his kingdom first, his will over my will, when our posture and our priority is correct, then my petitions have unlimited potential. There is no limit to the power of my petitions because there is no limit to our God. And as we move into next week and we're talking about heaven revealed, as heaven kisses earth, as miracles happen, we're going to see some miracles happening in the Bible. We're going to explore so many different topics and so many different things throughout this series. But the way that the miracles happen, they happen through petition. But the way that we know what petitions to make, what should we pray for? It's because we posture our heart in surrender and submission. It's because we are living our life with the priority of his kingdom and his will first and foremost. And out of that posture and from that priority, I can make the petitions that will move God so that I can see supernatural things happen on this earth. Now, we've been closing out every sermon in 2021 with a lead acrostic because we want to lead ourselves well in 2021. And if we're going to lead ourselves well, then we ask ourselves, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And are we doing it again? Let me share our acrostic with you today. What did we learn? What is our takeaway? The Lord's Prayer isn't just about the words I say, but how those words change the way I live. The Lord's Prayer, it's not just about the words that I say. It's not just me reciting this in the morning. No. It's about the way that this prayer changes the way I live throughout the day. So then we come to our evaluation. Does my prayer change my perspective, my process, and my possibilities? Come on, that's what prayer should do. That's how you know you are praying in alignment and in agreement with what the Lord has said we should pray. If our prayers are not changing our perspective, and if you're just going in to pray and you're just praying and you're walking away with the same perspective you had when you came in to pray, something is off. If prayer is not changing your process, your decision-making process, if you keep making the same decisions and falling in the same traps and saying yes to the wrong things, if you continue, then there is a disconnect between your prayer and your process. And does your prayer change your possibilities? When you come out of your moment of prayer, does it change what you believe is possible today? Are you aware that the supernatural favor and power of God is operating in you, wants to operate through you so that miracles can happen in your life, so that heaven can really come to this earth through your life? And possibilities are endless because there is a supernatural God who wants to use me today to build and expand his kingdom. You see, if prayer is not changing my perspective, and if prayer is not changing my decision-making process, and if prayer is not changing my possibilities and my expectations of what I think are going to happen today, then something is missing in my prayer. The application is this: pray this pattern of prayer every day this week. Come on, just commit to this week, the next 7 days. Say every day, I'm going to pray this pattern of prayer. I'm going to pray through the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to pause and I'm going to get in the right posture. And watch how your perspective begins to change. Begin to pray that priority and begin to watch how that priority begins to steer. It begins to change. Watch as you begin to pray that part. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. I want heaven to come to earth. Just begin to watch that as you pray that prayer, how it begins to steer your decision-making process. And then finally, as you begin to pray through the petitions, as you begin to make those petitions to the Lord, watch how it begins to stir the possibilities of what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do through you. And then the D is always the same. Hey, just do it again. And nothing is more perfect for prayer than just do it again. Keep showing up. Keep praying. Keep believing. God is changing you. And he is changing those things around you through his power and his grace. Come on, can we pray together today? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your greatness. God, we declare that there is no one like you. Maybe today you find yourself and you say, Philip, I'm just in desperate need of a fresh start. I'm in desperate need of a brand new beginning. I'm in desperate need of this relationship. As Jesus was praying, so relational and so conversational, so intimate, you say, Philip, I'm in desperate need of an intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father. If that's you right now, you say, Philip, I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I need to re-engage God. I need to re-engage my Heavenly Father. If that's you, just right there, just say, that's me. Just tell God right now, God, that's me. I want a relationship with you. Now, today, as you're watching, would you commit to pray? Would you commit to pray this prayer, this pattern of prayer this week? And I believe as we pray this prayer, we're going to see our perspective change. We're going to begin to see our process, our decision-making process begin to change. And I believe we're going to see change in the possibilities of what we see is possible for God to do in us and through us as we pray the Lord's Prayer this week. Father, I ask that you would lead us and guide us. And God, I pray that you would open up our eyes to see more than we have ever seen before so that we can do more than we've ever done before for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, thank you guys so much for watching today. And don't forget, next week, heaven revealed. Come on, heaven is being revealed on the earth, and it's happening through people just like you who have surrendered their heart and their life, who have submitted their ways to God. Heaven is coming to earth, and we are going to not just talk about it, we're going to be about it. We're going to bring heaven to earth in these next few weeks. God bless you. I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.